Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
To finish our series. This is Spirit Man, part five. Last week we had a blast with Tony talking and growing in the grace of God, and he shared some wonderful things with us. And this Sunday we're going to finish our series, which we had started prior to last week. And this is part five, and it's called Spirit Man. And it's just a refresher in this series. We have grown in the knowledge of our new identity in Christ. We've grown in the knowledge of the source of our new strength in Christ, that God is actually our strength now. I love the one translation from Psalm 18 says, I love you, O Lord. You have become my power. Yeah. Hallelujah. And today we're going to talk about the knowledge of the new mission that we're on. All right, the new mission that we're on, and you all know about Superman and the Avengers and DC and the Marvel Universe. Superheroes have something that without that, they really wouldn't be a hero, and that's a mission. We all need heroes, every one of us, because there is something that needs to happen that common people can't do.
That's right.
I need a hero. What is that, the 80s?
I don't know. I need a hero.
Yeah. Anyway, but the reason that common people can't do it is because they haven't been reborn of the Spirit of God. They haven't been filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If you are born from above, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you've put your faith in His resurrection on your behalf, you have been reborn and you are not common anymore. You can now do the things Jesus did and greater things than these. And one of my favorite shows back in the 80s was a show called Greatest American Heroes.
Oh, no.
I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Oh my goodness.
It was a guy who found this suit from outer space and he put it on and it had these powers. He had no idea how to work it, though. In each episode, he was discovering new powers.
He was a school teacher,
and then he ended up partnering with this FBI agent. It was a fun show. But anyway, when we come to Christ, we don't have the knowledge of what we can do. Sometimes when we came to Christ, we just thought, boy, I hope I get to heaven. You know, I want to be forgiven, which is wonderful. Right. But we want to grow in the knowledge now of who we actually are and what we could actually do.
That's good.
And that was what was so fun about that episode. Like he found out he could fly. Mm-hmm. He could turn invisible. He could do all these things.
Yeah.
Then he didn't know it. He could do it all along. And when you discover, wait a minute, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. I put out a post this morning on social media that says you're not small, you're not weak, you're big and strong. Because you are made in the very image of God Himself. You have a mission. You are a hero. You are a superhero. You are a superhuman being in the earth. And if you're born again. If you're born from above, the seed of God's incorruptible word, you are a new creature that never existed before. You have the resurrection power of Christ in you, and you have a mission. Now, you do have to accept your mission, right? You do have to accept your mission, or it won't get done. Remember, we're on this earth for two primary reasons. Number one, to know Him. To know Him. Okay? And the second reason, to help others know Him. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? So that should be the heart of our daily activity. That should be what guides and directs us. Why am I on this earth? Not to have a job, not to move real estate, not to whatever, be number one in my industry. I'm here to know him more every day.
And by that, you mean an experiential know.
Experiential.
Not just a
relationship.
Not just a head
growing,
know.
Growing. Yeah, yeah. Head know no won't do it.
Yeah.
I'm here to taste him and experience him in a very real way every day and more every day.
I interject that because the knowledge of God, as you grow in it, it produces evidence, you know, it produces
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
You know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, you know, but there is a knowing that's experiential, I think is what you're referring to. And I want to make
knowledge.
That distinction.
Absolutely.
That brings about a result and brings about an evidence. So when
absolutely.
I know Christ, it does impact other people.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen people, not just great American hero, but actually in the kingdom, actually ministers, gifts to the body of Christ, where we went into a meeting and we saw them operate in things of the spirit, things that we didn't know. And in seeing someone else operate in those things, we were inspired to say, we can do
lives
that.
Lives were changed. Absolutely.
So important. This
absolutely.
Is the value of the body of Christ and one another, that we encourage one another to continue in him and to grow in these things, to know him in such a way that experientially produces evidence that impacts the world everywhere we go.
Yes. This is so good. Now, let me say this to you. Are you ready? Come on. You've got nothing to be afraid of. His love removes every fear. Listen to what I'm about to say. You have a divine mission. You are born of the divine one that makes you divine. And you have a divine mission. It's not from this world, but it's beginning in this world and will go on for the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm. It's so deep and powerful and multifaceted. It's an eternal destiny. But you're going to begin it here on the earth. And once this earth passes away and there's a new heaven, a new earth, you're going to step into a whole new facet of your identity that you haven't even imagined yet.
That's awesome.
Okay? And all the That's gifts amazing. That you know of now are just going to... new depths, just gonna things are gonna open up, and that's a wonderful thing to think about. But
it
let's
is.
Talk about right
wow,
now.
I mean, I want to go there.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. We it's silly how we would hold to this life when you start realizing, wait a minute, the eternal reality of what's inside of us and what God's called us to do.
It's
like
eternal.
Okay, let's get
it's
done.
Eternal.
Yeah, let's get done. We need to get done. Let's get this mission over, because this is just a precursor to things we haven't even imagined yet. So you're divine, you're born of God, and you have a divine mission. Now, that mission begins on this planet Earth, and this mission is going to be conceived in you in the same way that you were born again. You have a divine mission in this earth, and that mission is going to be conceived in you in the same way that you were reborn. Let's talk about that for a moment.
That's good.
How was I reborn? We use the term born again. I think the better translation of what Jesus said in John 3 is born from above.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is being born again, but it's from where? From who? Who were you born of again from? God the Father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're born from above. And when you know that, it changes everything, because that term gets used a lot. And I feel like I'm born again in sports or music or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a divine rebirth, all right? How are we born again? Somewhere along the way, some way, you heard a message. Could have been from grandma.
Right.
Could have been from a friend. Could have been from the TV. Could have been from social media. Something that caught your attention about God's love for you, about what he's done for you through his son, and it made you want to know more.
That's right.
So you might have heard, God's forgiven you of all your sins. What? Whatever, we're all different, okay? And when you heard that word, it moved inside of you, and it inspired you to take some steps and learn more. And then somewhere along the way, and it could have been you with your Bible. Maybe you didn't have a Bible. There could have been a friend. I remember the guy who shared that word with me. Mm-hmm. He explained to me how God provided salvation for me through his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I never heard that before.
That's right.
Never heard that before. Mm-hmm. But my heart was ready.
It caused something inside of you, you said, to take action to find out more.
I want you to see this. Now, I was not born from above at that point. Right. I was lost.
Right. That's good.
I was dead in my spirit. I was walking around and breathing, but my spirit was separated from God. I was not born again. I was common. This uncommon, born from above, spirit-filled man began to share with me an uncommon message that God was for me, that God loved me, that God gave his son for me, and that through faith in him, all of my sins were washed away, and I would become God's very own child. And man, I had been talking to God for years prior to that, and I was what? And I wanted to know him. So this message will come, and it came to me through this uncommon man. And when he shared, what was he sharing? He was sharing a word from inside of him, a truth that God put inside of him. It came up from his spirit through his mouth to me.
Mm-hmm. And I would even venture to say, for those of us who are born again, that even when we are not cognizant, or even when we're not conscious of the fact that that the Spirit of God is working through us, he still is. I would venture to say that Daniel, that was his name, had some quality about him that caused you to believe what he said.
The name of the gentleman that led me to the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That he probably, there is something even that you recognized in his person, as you're saying, because you're saying the faith in him came up and out of his mouth and the words he said. But there had to be even an evidence unspoken that you were responding to because he was uncommon and he was born again.
Yes.
That even his very presence caused you to receive from him.
Absolutely.
So those of us who are born again, I want you to have every confidence today that when the Spirit of God is alive in you, that everywhere you walk about, there is an effect about it. You know, they said that people were healed by Peter's shadow, or, you know, they would just come in into the presence and notice something. Smith Wigglesworth, that was a common testimony. Mm. It's the same for you who are born again.
You. Same for you.
Even in not speaking, as we are born again, we're another creature, new creature born again. And so that caused even him, caused you to believe him, caused you to have an interest, ask a question. So have faith that God is working in us.
And I'll tell you what impacted me. There was definitely a presence about this man. His first name was Daniel.
Yeah.
And he had a joy in his eyes. And he smiled a lot, but it was more than just a smile.
That's right.
And he had a twinkle in his eye. But it was deeper than that. There was something beyond his face that I could sense. Mm-hmm. It was the Spirit of God.
That's right. That's right.
He wasn't weird. He wasn't mad. Mm-hmm. He was genuinely joyful.
He was wonderful.
And he walked about without burdens.
That's good.
And again, these are things I didn't articulate.
No.
I just,
but you perceived.
Yeah, this guy is not common.
That's right.
He's not like so many of the other people I've known who are like me, you know. Inside, they were all, you know, lost in a mess. So yes, his relationship with God as his father was impacting me, because I knew him for a while prior to him ever sharing that with me. But every time I got with him, I started to get happy.
That's exactly right.
Because the joy of the Lord that was in him started affecting me.
That's good.
But so what happened? Here's what's so amazing. I received that word that he shared with me. When I took that word of salvation, the good news, inside of myself, I had to take it inside of myself. I had to receive it. The moment I received it in my heart, and then spoke it with my mouth, a new creature was conceived in me. The real, the divine me, the God me, the one I was made to be, was came to life. Conception is an amazing thing. Now, naturally speaking, we know it in terms of having a child. Very powerful. And if you've ever had the privilege of being part of a delivery, you know, I don't know if there are any words to describe the divineness of that.
Right.
The womb is a precious place. It's guarded. It's safe. It's inside. And how does natural conception have? And we won't go too far into the birds and bees here, but something very powerful. God designed man, and he designed woman, and we see at the very beginning they were designed to come together as husband and wife and become one flesh, and produce children. It's a very divine, very straightforward, very wonderful, very godly design. And there is nothing like it. And how does that happen? Well, the man contains in him a message, a word, and the woman contains in her the equipment to receive that word. Right? And the man brings the seed, and the woman receives the seed, and that seed is conceived in her, and a new life begins. The same is true when you are born again. That's a natural representation, and it's supernatural, obviously, of what happens in us when we're, that's why Jesus said, born from above. That's why we say born again. It's like natural childbirth in a sense where you are conceived by receiving. God's word is a
seed. That's right.
That's why Mary had to be a virgin. This couldn't be done through a man. Man had fallen. Man was contaminated. The pregnancy of Mary came how? God sent his word to her and told her that she was to conceive a child. She asked, how is this possible? He said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then she gave her consent.
That's right.
She received the word of God unto her. And what happened? The Messiah was conceived in her womb without a man. You were born again in that same way. The word comes to you, and it may have came to me many times prior to that. You know, but I wasn't ready. But when I received it inside of my spirit, my heart, your heart is the womb. I received the seed of the word of God that Daniel shared with me.
Yeah, that's good.
And inside of me, I was a new birth happened. My dead spirit was reborn from above by the word of God and the seed of God. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1. This is so powerful because your mission is going to be conceived in the same way. 1 Peter 1:23. Your new life, and say this of your new mission, is not like your old life and your old mission. Your old birth, listen, came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. I like the word conceive, and it comes from two Latin words that means to take together. Let me read that again, 1 Peter 1:23. Your new life, your new mission, is not like your old life, your old mission. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. Let me take a little time with this. Prior to Christ, I had my own ideas about myself, about God, about other people, about what I wanted to do in life. But When I gave my life to Christ, I was given new ideas about myself, new ideas about other people, and new ideas of what my life was to be about. Prior to that, I just listened to myself and listened to people. And I remember being, you know, in high school, and you go to the guidance counselor, if I wasn't in the principal's office, getting detention or suspension, whatever. But they try and figure out, okay, what should you do next? You know, and you fill out your little questionnaires. I say, okay, you show this aptitude for this and that and this. And nothing hit me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the word. But here's this guy telling me what I should do. I'm like, that ain't it. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that to him. I'm just thinking inside, that ain't it. You know, and no one could tell me. And I just knew there's something in here that no one's telling me about,
exactly,
you know, because
right.
I had to have a relationship with my father. None of the people that I knew that I would know of, unless they weren't telling me, would be able to describe what I'm doing today. They didn't know it. So I like how it says here, your new life is not like your old life. We used to listen to man. Mm-hmm. We used to look to ourselves and the wisdom of man for answers. Mm-hmm. It's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Who do we look to? To Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He has the answers for every area of our lives. And now we look to divine wisdom instead of man's wisdom. This is very important because your new mission can't happen without divine wisdom. Your old birth came from mortal sperm or mortal words, mortal wisdom. Hallelujah. Your new life comes from God's living word. Conceive, to take together. What do? We take what God has said, and together we receive it. We believe it, and we act on it. When we do that, the initial time, our spirit, which is absolutely the greatest miracle that could ever happen, a dead human spirit is immediately made alive and made righteous for all of eternity. I don't even comprehend that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a little idea of what that, the depth of that. Happens immediately. It is conceived immediately. And you know, it's amazing that before a baby is conceived in the womb, that baby was a spirit. God knew you before you're in your mother's womb. He called you before you're in your mother's womb. So that natural coming together of that is a manifestation of this, of what is in the realm of the spirit. The same is true in you. When you're born again, who you are created to be comes alive. And if you'll walk with God, if you'll cultivate a relationship with him, the new you will start to rise from your spirit and ooze into your soul and your body, and it'll start to show up on the outside.
That's right.
People will begin to recognize, and that can be very quickly. That could be like immediate, depending on how much you receive, how well you receive
that
word.
That's right.
If you wrestle with it, say, I don't know if I'm saved, and I don't, just what do you mean, and I don't know about it. Yeah. If you go back and forth on it, you're not going to see maybe any manifestation of it at all. So you've got to receive that word. That's why Jesus said a husband and wife, man and woman are to come together, become one flesh. They have to join. They have to become one.
Mm-hmm.
They have to give their whole selves to each other. This new life is a giving of your whole self to Christ. It's becoming one with him. You're now joined to him, in union with him, married to him, if you will. It's good to think of your relationship with Christ in that way. I am now one with him. Mm-hmm. Just as a husband and wife would become one flesh, I'm now one with Christ. Now, here comes your mission. And this is, you know, this doesn't have to follow a specific timeline. There may be things that open up inside of you the moment you receive Christ. And maybe you had inklings of those before you came to Christ, but that didn't really understand. But as you cultivate an intimate relationship with Christ, your divine mission in life will begin to rise inside of you. It will begin to open up. It's conception. It will come forth inside of you. But that will not happen if you do not cultivate a vibrant relationship with him. So you can be quote unquote saved, as the catchphrase is. You can be on, you know, a child of God going to heaven when you leave this earth, but really have no idea what your mission is in this earth today, because you're not passionately giving yourself to him. A husband and wife are to passionately give themselves to each other. What comes out of that? Children, offspring, conception. That's God's design. Well, when you passionately give yourself to Christ, a destiny is going to come out of that. Mm-hmm. A mission. And boy, if I could ever encourage you in this, I want to encourage you in this today. You have a divine mission, but it's going to take divine wisdom that comes through God's divine word.
That's so good.
Because people will not be able to figure it out. It's not from man. It's from God. And when you be, and it's just as simple as saying, Jesus, I'm all yours. I give my whole life to you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And from this moment on, I'm about knowing you, pursuing you, living for you, tasting you, experiencing you. And whatever you want, I'm in.
That's good.
Shake up the ground.
That's right.
From all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. You're so much better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're so much better than everybody. I mean, it was no struggle for me to marry Jennifer. None whatsoever. Because I had been, I saw her, I wanted her, and I developed a relationship with her, and I knew it would be so much better than anyone else I could ever marry. Mm-hmm. I knew it. Not interested in anyone else. No problem. Let's go. Let's
so
go.
Good.
And when you taste Jesus, it's like, you know what? All the things people said about me, all the advice I've been given just kind of fades away. And all of a sudden, I'm in this face-to-face relationship with the perfect one. And now I'm hearing from heaven about who I am, mm-hmm, and the mission I have in this earth. And oh, there's nothing like it.
So many times you've said this, and this is just the way it works, that when you keep saying receiving,
yeah,
it's really your yes,
yeah,
your agreement,
yeah,
your consent to what God wants to do in your life. And that's all it takes, is a yes. It's not a,
that's it.
It's not a,
that's it.
It's not a hard thing to do. Mm-mm. It's not a struggle.
It's not
a wrestling. It's just say yes. You can just say yes. And then you continue. It's so beautiful how when you see him, faith comes. In the, yeah, same way, you heard what Daniel was saying to you about the gospel and who Jesus was, and faith comes. When you see Christ for who he is, faith just comes.
Yeah.
And all it takes is you saying yes to put yourself in his presence, to put yourself among his people, to put yourself in the hearing of his,
yeah,
word.
Yeah.
And all that, it's not a struggle. It's just a yes.
That's
it's
it.
Just a yes. And then you continue to walk in that way. You make a choice to say yes again. And the more you learn,
yeah,
the more,
yeah,
he reveals, the you say yes again. And you keep going forward in him.
The struggle is in not saying yes.
That's exactly right.
If I'm holding tightly to this pen, look at that. I mean, I got to hold tightly. But that's the where the struggle is. Look how easy it is to let go.
Just do it.
I just had a image of a child on a sliding board going into, mm-hmm, a pool, mm-hmm, on a hot summer day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, I don't know what it was. I got on top of this sliding board when I was a kid going into a pool, but it was kind of a high one, you know.
Mm-hmm. A water slide.
And it's hot. And you, mm-hmm, want to go into that water. So you climb up this slide. And then you're sitting on the top and you're like, ooh, the pole's way down there, you know? And you're holding on to the rails. But the struggle is like holding on.
Yeah,
it's like you let go. It's like, woo! And man, you're refreshed. It's a new life.
Uh-huh. It's exhilarating.
And so letting go is the easiest thing you can do. It's the holding on. That's the struggle. It's the resisting, you know?
So good.
And boy, if there's a marriage like that where the husband and wife are resisting each other, that's heavy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's painful. That's mm-hmm. a struggle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's in the letting go where the conception takes place.
Yes.
I like that word conceive, to take together. And it also means to form inside. Conceive, being formed on the inside.
That's so good.
I got another translation here of 1 Peter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You have been regenerated, born again, born from above, not from a mortal origin.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's good.
We are not mere mortals anymore. Not from a mortal origin, seed, sperm, this is amplified, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. Mm-hmm. What's John 1:16 say? For of his fullness... Mm-hmm. We have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So here we are, guys. We're just about to finish the month of April. So the first, trimester of 2024 is about to come to a close. How much of your divine mission are you aware of? Today, April 28th, is that the date today? 2024. Is your energy and time being spent on what you've been doing and what you were told or on the decisions that you came about by man-made conversations and wisdom? Or have you come to know your divine origin and your divine mission through a passionate relationship with Jesus? Now, this is one of the reasons that Highway Church, we're so into the Word of God. And when we talk about the Word of God at Highway, we are not talking about legalism. Where's my Bible at? Let me get it here. This big old hard copy Bible that's changed my life every day. I want you to understand something. Yeah, which one's heavier? I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, if you see this book as a legalistic book, you have totally missed it. You can look at it that way, and many do, and many use it that way, and brings a lot of pain. But let me say this to you about the Bible. Okay, how you see the Bible is how you see God. Now, I know this is paper and ink, and God's not paper and ink. He's the living creator of heaven and earth. But you need to know this. From the very beginning, in the beginning was the
Word.
Word.
John 1.
Mm-hmm. John 1, 1.
Mm-hmm.
The Word was with God. The Word was God. What is the Word? The expression of God's heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, words come.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the Word of God at Highway, we're talking about the heart of God. This was written before any paper and ink ever happened. What did the Father do? He saw to it from over time that pen and ink, parchment, would be used to record what we needed to know in this lifetime. And there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, that were written down for us so that we could know the heart of God. Do not be legalistic with this book. If you see this as legalistic, in some ways you see God that way. How you see this book, how you approach the Bible is how you approach God. And that might make you mad, but it's true. People will put down the Bible Christians. They'll think of it in negative ways, and they'll say, "Well, how do we know that's from God?" I understand those questions.
Skeptical.
And yes, you become skeptical. That's ultimately because they're skeptical of God's love for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you're grounded and have a knowledge of His love for you, you'll read this book like you've never read it before, and it will set you free. It will bring life to you. So, I mean, my whole life as a person seeking God has been about wanting to hear from God. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we just had a wonderful minister went on to glory this past week, Brother Jerry Seville. He was one of the first I ever heard in 1996 in person.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some cassettes and different things. When we got back to the States, we were overseas. And actually was one of the first, but he would have been after we came back
from living in Europe.
Mm-hmm. After we came stateside, he was one of the first people that I heard.
Yep.
And when he released the word from his mouth, things happened in me.
That's right.
Because that's how this works. When you understand this, you will passionately pursue the hearing of the word. And stay with me. I'm going to wind this up quickly.
You're doing good.
Because people don't understand what church is about. And some do, but many don't. And it's criticized. And I understand that people have taken offense because something happened in a church or someone maybe said something or did something or didn't say something or didn't do something. And as a result, how you see church is really how you see God.
Well, this is all coming together for me. And I just, if you
got that
give
right.
me a second, this is all coming together.
I'll give you a second.
Give me a second.
1/1000.
This, I've begun to see this differently today, even in talking about this. This is the seed of God.
Yes, it is.
Talk about seed in a producing way.
Yeah.
This is the seed of God.
Yeah, this is like going to the nursery and buying a bag of seeds.
Exactly.
To plant.
Or even in the example of marriage that you've been given. This is the seed of God to produce in your life, to reproduce the things and character and nature of God.
Yeah.
It comes in the word of God being Jesus. Jesus is the seed.
Yeah.
He was sent. He was buried.
The living word.
He was buried.
Word,
he died.
Word,
and he rose again. We know this in 1 Corinthians at the end of the chapter there. He talks about a seed that Jesus' body had to be buried. And then he was raised again. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is the seed.
Yeah.
This is the power. We know the word of God is living, powerful. This is the seed of God. And all of this is coming together. If I see this as the ability which God has sent to us, we have to say yes to this in order to produce in our lives. And when we understand that other people need to receive the seed of God, other people need to receive the word of God in order for things to produce in them, you know, we all understand the value in this to give it to somebody else so that these divine qualities come about in their lives, that they're reproduced in them. Then we have less friction, less less fighting, less contention in the body if we understand we're all seed receivers. And some of us do receive seed better than others.
Yep.
Some are resistant, some fuss. But you're exactly right. This is all coming together in such a new, different way to understand that this word, this Bible, is the ability that God has given us for him to reproduce in the earth. And again, we say we know Jesus is the word also. So all this stuff coming together today, just so powerful to know that God wants to reproduce himself in the earth. And we're the ones who have to say yes. Mm. And then when we do, we become more patient with those brothers and sisters in the church. We just know they just need to receive more of the seed of God, the
that's
word
it.
Of God,
that's it.
The person of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't think of it anymore as a flesh thing. You don't think in terms, which Paul said in the epistles, I don't look at you at, you know, like I used to. We used to look at Jesus that way, but don't anymore. We understand that he is the produce or the product of God's word in the earth. And wow, we're just going to begin to see things differently.
So I want to speak to you because, again, all of us have had opportunities to be discouraged, to back up, to take offense. And I want to speak because I'm telling you, they were living in the church that needs to rise up, maybe like it's never risen up before. And if you're born again, you're the church. The church is people who've been born from above and are filled with the Spirit of God and who recognize the value of the Word of God. But I want to say this to you because what so often happens, you know, we hear the Word of God and we become a part of a church. And the church is people, you know, and we're all in different, you know, places in our lives. We've been through different things. So we're going to inevitably rub each other the wrong way. This happens in marriage. It's, you know, we're people. We're two different people.
Very different.
From different experiences.
Very different.
So anytime you have one or more persons in a place, there's going to be an opportunity to get offended. Okay? But what has happened so much, again, offense has been taken. And I won't go into the detail. There are things I'll probably never say, even to my wife, what I've been through in church. Because they're very deep. And were very challenging, but I don't need to really talk about them because they're all gone. They're under the blood, and I move on. But I just want you to know I've had my share, or maybe more of my share of challenges, you know, interacting with others in the body of Christ. And I understand what it's like, and also prior to coming to Christ, growing up in the family situation, I had lots of challenges that were very, very painful and devastating. So I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. That's all. But what often happens is when we allow ourselves to be hurt, when we take offense and hold that thing, we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. So people have been hurt in church say, we don't need to do church like this anymore. You know, we don't need to have someone preaching. We can just all do our own thing. And I understand that. But when you look at the way God operates, the preaching of the word is the foundation of everything. What is John 1:1? In the beginning was the
word.
The preaching of the word. John the Baptist began preaching months before Christ arrived. It was the preaching of John the Baptist that paved the way for Christ to come. Then Christ came, and he began preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. What was the first thing that happened in Genesis? Well, Lucifer rebelled against God the Father, was cast down to earth. His name and the demons, the angels went with him, became demons. His name was changed to Satan. Darkness was covered the earth. What changed that? God preached. Light be.
He said.
All throughout, God said. The New Testament tells us that God has chosen preaching as the method of salvation. It was preaching that brought light into the earth, that brought order into the earth, that enabled mankind to be conceived, that God's plan unfold, and it's the same today. So, you know, there's the corporate structure. Every church can be different. We started as a gathering in a movie theater.
In Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts in 2014. Didn't look like what many people would think of as a church. Again, the church is people. We went from a movie theater to a function hall, which became a karate studio.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and we were having church. Like we were experiencing Christ. That's people's lives are being changed. I don't care where you meet.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't matter. It's the people. Right. It's the message.
The message and the people. The word.
When you begin to realize where the new life comes from, it comes from the preaching of the word. If you don't have that, you're never going to grow in Christ. You're never going to, and the preaching of the word will challenge us.
Yes, it will. We've seen just people like, fuss and fight at it.
Absolutely. You know, as a parent, there are times you have to challenge your child.
As a wife, I've been challenged.
Yeah, and as a husband, I've been challenged. Absolutely.
In a good way.
Yeah, you know, because how do we grow? By accepting responsibility. By realizing, you know what, this is something I need to do. I may not feel like doing it right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what maturity doesn't come with age. Becoming an adult doesn't come with age. It comes with the acceptance of responsibility. I've met 12 and 13-year-olds that were more mature than 50-year-olds I know. Why? Because they began accepting responsibility. Okay? So very important. So preaching is multifaceted.
Yes, it is.
But it tells us in the New Testament church, hello, that when Jesus rose from the dead, the first thing he did, he led the captives, and as he was doing that, he gave gifts to the church. What were those gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What is our role as fivefold ministry gifts? To preach the good news of the kingdom so that other people can hear it, the kingdom can be conceived in them, and they can be equipped to do what God's called them to do. And I love this statement that we, from the beginning of Highway Church, as a vision statement says, we see a vibrant, growing church where people are experiencing God, hello, and moving forward in his destiny for their lives. So we went from the movie theater, function hall, karate studio, to a warehouse that was formerly a yacht factory. None of these places looked like churches.
No, none of them looked like churches.
Yeah. Then COVID came along. We went online for a while, continued meeting in the warehouse. The Lord spoke to us about relocating to the center of the country. We've been online. We'll continue to be online. This church is meeting all over the America and the world today. And we're also going to start in-person services in Tulsa on next Sunday. Woo-wee, next Sunday. May 5th. Yeah, all the information's on our website, highwaychurch.us. And we'll be streaming as well. We'll be online as well. So, but how? What's the basis of that? It's the Word. And that word comes through a fivefold ministry gift, and it comes via preaching. And the preaching is the releasing of God's character, releasing of God's power into the earth. And when you understand how this all works, you won't criticize church anymore. You'll be looking for a place where you can hear that divine revelation of Christ, not religion. Not the wisdom of man. That's why I appreciate Andrew Womack so much, Joseph Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Jen Tringale. We could go on and on. The men and women that bless our lives over and over again. This is just so good. We love you, Highway family. We're going all the way with Christ, and there's nothing stressful about that. It is invigorating.
That's right.
It's a letting go and letting God show you things you've never seen before. What we're going to do right now is a very word thing. We're going to worship God with our money. And again, what usually when people put down church, they'll put down preaching or they'll put down different things. They'll also put down tithing. And they think that's something that man came up with or churches came up with to make money. It has nothing to do with any of the above. It's about a heart relationship with God where you actually know him as your provider. And it wasn't introduced in the Mosaic Covenant. And people will say, well, that's Old Covenant. And that's, again, an ignorant statement. It actually was introduced to us, well, really in the Garden of Eden, but in Abraham, the father of our faith, is the one who modeled tithing for us. When Christ appeared to him and delivered him and his family, he responded by giving Christ, Melchizedek, 10% of all that he had. That was the model. And of course, then hundreds of years later, the Mosaic Covenant was given. And of course, we have the tithe there. And then after the Mosaic Covenant was fulfilled, Christ came. We see in the New Testament, they actually went way beyond the tithe. They began selling properties and bringing the proceeds into the church to the fivefold ministry gifts. So this is a part of a vibrant relationship with God because God wants you to know him as your provider and he wants to get some things done in the earth. So this is a supernatural thing we're doing right now. Every one of us needs to be plugged in to a church. If you're a part of Highway Church, we want to thank you and we want to encourage you to be faithful in your relationship with Christ, to hear the preaching, to and that doesn't mean everything we say is right or godly, but listen for Christ in what we share. We're people just like you. We make mistakes. But man, when you're hearing that revelation of Christ, and you'll know it, and you line it up, you go back and you look at the word, and you get the scriptures, and you say, okay, is what they're saying, is that the really what Jesus said? You find out for yourself. Okay, don't ever just accept anything anyone says, no matter how well produced it is or whatever. You look at Jesus. But you need a place like Highway Church where you can plug in and be hearing the revelation of Christ regularly. Okay? And if the Lord has, excuse me, put it on your heart, be a member of Highway Church, man, be faithful in that. And be faithful and go all the way. Worship Him with your money. Worship Him with your money, and you can do that through our website, highwaychurch.us, highwaychurch.us, and click on Give in the menu, and everything is there. You got all kinds of ways you can give that are so simple, and we want to encourage you to do that. Now, maybe Highway Church is not the church that you're a member of, but maybe you're benefiting from the ministry of Highway Church. And I love that about the age we're living in. We listen to so many mm-hmm. messages because mm-hmm. we're members of Highway Absolutely. Church. But boy, that's not the only word we're hearing. No. It's an awesome word here.
Yeah,
but we're I'm listening to Andrew Womack mm-hmm. regularly. I'm listening to Joseph Prince. I'm mm-hmm. listening to Jen Tringale. I'm listening mm-hmm. to Creflo Dollar. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to all kinds of different people. That Rick Renner, you know, Gloria Copeland. I can go on and on, but. Because I'm hungry for Jesus. But if you want to partner with us as an auxiliary ministry in your life, you can do that too. How do you do that? Highwaychurch.us. Click on Give in the menu and schedule a recurring gift. And that lets us know, okay, this person is partnering with us in the work of the kingdom. And it's awesome. It's a God thing. It's a love thing. It's a trust thing. It's a Jesus thing. And we invite you to let go of offense, let go of man ideas, and just come down the sliding board and go in the deep end and be refreshed in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Let's do that right now. Mm-hmm. Father, we love you, and we worship you, and we thank you for new life in you. Mm-hmm. Lord, conceive your mission in us.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive, we take together your word, that our divine mission on this earth would be formed inside of us as we passionately pursue you. Show us, Father, what you've made us for. We worship you with our money. We bring you 10% of our revenue. We bring you offerings on top of that. We bring you sometimes proceeds from deals that we've made, whatever it is. We worship you, not out of duty, but freely, joyfully. Mm-hmm. Out of love. Be glorified with our money. And Lord, we ask you to bless those who are giving, to multiply their gifts, their seed, back unto them exponentially beyond anything they've imagined. We thank you, Lord, for 2024, new year, new revenue, new income, new increase, new blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.